Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chof. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, on the last line, Diksiv. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara taught us that the daughters of Tzlofchad got married when they were over 40 years old. And even though the Gemara had quoted that if a woman gets married that late, she's going to have difficulty conceiving, having children, the daughters of Tzlofchad, given that they were tzedkaniyos, given that they were very righteous women, were not concerned with that, because they learned the lesson from Yocheved, the mother of Moshe v'Aaron, who also had children very late in life. So they felt comfortable in getting married later and still being able to have children. So Gemara now will go on to prove how we know that indeed she had children so late in life. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'yelech ish mebeis Levi, there was a man from Beis Levi, Amram, V'yikachas bas Levi, he took Yocheved as a wife. And as Mepharshim explained, the point of the Gemara here is that a person, when they're young, can be caught, doesn't yet have their own identity. And that's why they're called Bas or Ben of a certain individual. But once a person is older, they've already achieved their own independent identity. And they're not anymore called Ben this individual, Bas this individual. The Torah, Yocheved, at this point, was 130 years old already. Yet why is she called Bas Levi? Doesn't she have already an independent identity? The lesson to learn is that the Torah tried to teach us that she came back to be like a young woman, that she had children. Efsha Bas Mei V'Shloshim Shana, she's 130 years old for Karla Bas, and she's being called Bas, and must be because she got young again. And the Mepharshim point out that our Gemara focuses on the fact that she had Moshe Rabbeinu when she was 130 years old. But as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was only 3 years younger than his brother Aaron. So Aaron was also born when Yocheved was already 127 years old. So why doesn't the Gemara focus on Aaron's birth, that he was also born when Yocheved was that old? So Mepharshim explained that although it was a great nes that Aaron was born when Yocheved was already 127 years old, however, when he was born, they did not have that, as the Gemara is going to teach us, that she was totally rejuvenated, that she came back to youth. That only happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And that's why the Gemara focuses on the nes and the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dom Rav Chama Bechanina. Rav Chama Bechanina says, Zu Yocheved, this pasuk is referring to Yocheved, She rasa bederech, she was conceived as they were traveling to Mitzrayim, V'nolda ben achaymus, but she was actually born in between the walls as they were entering Mitzrayim. The Ksiva Shiyoldo is a Levi Mitzrayim. The pasuk describing her birth says she was born in Mitzrayim to teach us Leidosim in Mitzrayim. Her actual birth took place in Mitzrayim. However, V'hayrosa, her conception, her mother became pregnant, Shalom Mitzrayim, when she was outside of Mitzrayim. The Farshim asked, how could have Levi had relations with his wife, and his wife should conceive at that time? Isn't the halacha the osel adam l'shamish mitalsoi b'shas roven? A person is not supposed to have relations during time of famine, and that was certainly a time of famine. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that halacha is only a midas chesidus, and although Yosef did not have relations during that time, Levi did not follow that midas chesidus. Another pshat that I saw is that the reason Yosef did not have relations during that time, because Yosef thought that his family was affected by the hunger, and therefore it was a shas raven, and also adam l'shamis mitosoi b'shas raven. However, that really wasn't the case. But the case was they did have Baruch Hashem parnasa, the family of Yaakov. As the Torah teaches us, Yaakov said to his children, Lama tisro, it shouldn't seem to the world that we have, but we really, Baruch Hashem, have. So Yosef, who was under the misimpression that his family was b'shas tzar, indeed did not have relations during that time. Levi, whoever, was aware of the truth that Baruch Hashem, they weren't affected by the hunger, therefore could have relations with his wife. Another pshat that I saw, the Tosfos Ritz, says as follows. We know that before Kabbalah HaTorah, not every Klal Yisrael was not yet obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, at that point, Levi chose not to follow this rule of Oslo Adam L'Sham Shmitos B'Shnais Raven. Yosef, however, did choose to follow that minig. So even though, says the Tosfos Rid, that before Kabbalah HaTorah, it was up to one's decision and discretion, should he or shouldn't he follow a certain rule, after Kabbalah HaTorah, where we are obligated to follow what the Torah wants, there, what happened before Kabbalah HaTorah could serve as a model what we're obligated to do, and now it's not up to our discretion anymore what we're obligated to do after Kabbalah HaTorah, and that's why they were obligated after Kabbalah HaTorah to follow what Yosef did before Kabbalah HaTorah and Oslo Adam L'Shamish Mitosoi B'Shnas Raven. The Mefarshim debate when our Gemara says that Yocheved was born Ben Achoymus. Then the Gemara seems to say that she was actually born as they entered Mitzrayim. When indeed was she born? Was she born before they entered Mitzrayim or after they already entered Mitzrayim? However, I saw from the Be'er Mayim Chaim that he says that she was certainly born before they entered Mitzrayim. Because he explains, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the refuah, prepares the cure before the Makkah, before the disease. Klal Yisrael, as they were entering Mitzrayim, and were going to begin the terrible Golus Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared for them already the refuah, the person who would be the leader who would lead them out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why already before they entered Mitzrayim was Yocheved born, Yocheved the mother of Moshe. But David Ezra asks the question, if as Al Gemara is teaching us, such a tremendous nace happened, that Yocheved was 130 years old, and she has a child, why doesn't the Torah explicitly mention this nace? So the Mashah actually says that the Torah does. The Torah, by using the words Bas Levi, as Al Gemara teaches us, is teaching us indeed this nace. However, the Ramban, in answer to the question of the Ibn Ezra, explains as follows. The only nisim, the purpose of the Torah is not to be a storybook to record all of the nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael. The only nisim that are recorded in the Torah are either something which was extraordinary or something that a Navi or a Malach said that something would happen, and then what they said would happen happened. The Torah records it to show us the power of what they said. Otherwise, the Torah does not normally record all nisim that happened. The Gra has a different pshat. The Gra in the Ein Eliyahu explains that since this type of nes, that a woman so old was rejuvenated and had a child, is not new. It had already happened previously by Sari Imenu. And says the Gra, that since this nace had already happened, but it's more than that, says the Gra, a nace that happened to one of our forefathers, so to speak, made the way that such nisim can happen to us, their descendants. And therefore, once the Torah recorded that this nace happened by Sarah, the nace that happened to Yocheved, albeit that it was a very great nace, does not need to be recorded. V'may karle bas, why was she called bas? Because Amar of Yehuda Basvida Melamed Shenold by Simonai Naris. She came back to her youth. Nesadin Habasar, her flesh became tender. Nespashta Kamatim, the wrinkles came out. V'chaza Yoyfuli Kaimai, she came back to having her period. V'yikach, and the Torah says that Amram married Yocheved. But ask the Gemara, why does the pasuk say V'yikach? The Torah should say that he took her back. This was a remarriage. What happened was that Amram did a full-fledged marriage with her. He put her in a big chair. And Aaron and Miriam were singing and dancing before them. As the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara Masechta Sota teaches us that when Paroi made the Gzeira that Kol Aben HaYilad HaYoyer Tashlichua, that all Jewish boys should be thrown into the river, Omad Amram V'Girash Yisishtai, Amram divorced Yocheved. He said, what's the purpose of having children, of getting married and having children if they're going to be thrown into the Yam? And Miriam told her father Amram, Shechag ze kashim shalai, your decree is even worse than the decree of Paroi. Shapara le gozar el al zacharim. Paroi's gzeir was only regarding males. V'at the gozar in your gzeir even affects the nekevus. Miyad, immediately, Amad Amram, Amram went and took back Yocheved. Furthermore, the Medrash says, the Rashbam follows this pshat in this Gemara, he says that Miriam told the father Amram, of course you should remarry our mother Yocheved, because by me marrying our mother Yocheved, our mother will have the child, she Mashiach and she Yisrael, who will be the ultimate savior of Klal Yisrael, the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Understanding these Midrashim help us understand the Gemara that we just learned. The Gemara teaches us that Amram took back Yocheved as a wife. And even though typically when somebody has a second marriage, and certainly when it's the same wife that he's taken back, it's not normally done with that type of pomp and publicity. Here, Amram specifically did it very publicly. Why? One shot is because after Amram divorced his wife, everyone else divorced their wives. But Amram, based on what Miriam told him, realized that that wasn't the way to go, and he wanted to show that he's taking back his wife. So he specifically took her back publicly so everybody should learn the lesson and take and remarry the wives and remain married to the wives. However, the other pshat says that Amram specifically remarried Yocheved publicly because he realized what would be the product of this marriage. The product of this marriage would be Moshe Rabbeinu, which requires a great simcha. Moreover, the Mefarshim explain, actually, after Kabbalah HaTorah, a marriage like the marriage of Amram and Yocheved would be illegal. One is not allowed to marry his aunt. Amram, however, married Yocheved, his aunt, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. He was a Navi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to marry his aunt. But in order that people should not claim that Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, were born from an improper marriage, he purposely married her publicly so everybody should recognize that this was done because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it done that way, and there would be no question to the yichus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban makes an interesting observation. Aaron, as we said earlier, was at this time 3 years old. So how did Aaron recognize the great simcha that was taking place in the marriage of the remarriage of his parents that he knew to dance? Says the Ramban that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the heart of Aaron a tremendous feeling of simcha, a tremendous feeling of joy that he expressed with singing and dancing because of the tremendous great event that was about to occur. There's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that even before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael already fulfilled certain mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Rambam goes on to mention Amram as one of the people who already introduced mitzvahs before Kabbalah Satorah. And the Mefarshim, in trying to understand the Rambam, we certainly know that the Ovis were the ones that instituted Tefillah, Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. Avram was Bris Mila, Yaakov, we have the Gira Hanasha. But what mitzvah did Amram introduce that the Gemara is teaching, that the Rambam is teaching us that Amram was one of those individuals who before Matan Torah already introduced mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael? Says Rav Chaim Briska, Gevalda Gevart. He says that Amram is the first person that we find married a woman with a chuppah. And therefore, this entire concept of chuppah was introduced by Amram already before Kabbalah Satorah. And interesting, the Rav Chaim says, with this we understand the nusach of the bracha that we make by the chuppah. B'kaddish Amma Yisrael al yidei chuppah v'kedushin. Ask Rav Chaim, the order should be kedushin v'chuppah, because first the person undergoes, the person has kedushin, erusin with his wife, which, and then chuppah represents nesuin. So shouldn't it say kedushin v'chuppah? Says Reb Chaim, the reason we say chuppah v'kedushin is because chuppah already came from the time of Amram. So Klal Yisrael experienced chuppahs before they experienced kedushin. The concept of erusin only came to be after Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, when we make the bracha under the chuppah, we follow the proper chronological order in the history of Klal Yisrael, first mentioning the chuppah and then the kedushin. Says the Gemara, Lahal manam akasav derek udalason. The Torah, when it speaks about the marriage of the Bnei Tzlofchad, mentions them according to their age. The Kan, however, here, that we're discussing as they approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Pasuk mentions them, Derech Hachmoson, mentions them according to their wisdom. Messiah, Rav Ami, says our Gemara, this is a proof to what Rav Ami taught us. Dama Rav Ami, be yeshiva. When it comes to speaking about Torah learning, halakha chokma, we pay deference, we give respect to the greatest Talmud Chacham. Masiba, when it comes to a wedding, halakha zikna, we follow age. And therefore, when it came to speak about their claim to Moshe Rabbeinu, we go according to their wisdom. When it comes to marriage, we go according to the age. Aravashi, however, this that wisdom prevails over age is only mafled b'chachma. If somebody is a very great Talmud Chacham, he comes before an elderly person. But if he's not such a great Talmud Chacham, the elderly person comes first. Similarly, this that we said, that b'mesiba hoylech ach zikna, that's only in a situation of mafled b'zikna, somebody who's very old. But if there's somebody who's not that old and a Talmud Chacham is there, a real Talmud Chacham, the Talmud Chacham goes first. So as the Rashbam summarizes the halachas, he says, if you have somebody who's a muflid b'chachma, and the other people, even if you have an elderly person, but he's not a muflid b'zikna, the muflid b'chachma always goes first. On the other hand, says the Rashbam, if you'll have somebody who's a muflid b'zikna, who's very old, and you don't have there anybody who's a muflid b'chachma, the muflig b'zikna always comes first, both b'yeshiva and b'misiba. Our Gemara teaches us that if you have two individuals who are both muflog and b'chachma, one is muflig b'chachma, one is muflig b'zikna, so we give preference to the muflig b'chachma b'yeshiva, and we give preference to the muflig b'zikna b'misiba. Why will be the halacha if neither of them is a muflig? The zaken is not that old, and the chacham is not that great of a chacham. What is the halacha? So the Rashbam says, under such circumstances, we follow the zikna. We follow the older person. The Ritva says, in such a situation, we follow the chachma. And the Ra says, If we have two individuals, one is not really a muflik b'chachma, one is not really a muflik b'zikna, we follow the same formula that our Gemara just taught us, that b'yeshiva, we go after the chachma, or b'mesiba, we go after the zikna. Tana ben v'shmol, b'noi tzlofka shkul sayyad. Actually, the b'noi tzlofka were all equal. Shnemar v'tiyena. Havai achas l'kulan, they were all equal. But our Gemara teaches us that they, by the claim we went after Chachma, by marriage they went after Zikna. A cute vort that I saw from the wife of Rav Shmuel Amsterdam, who was in her own right a very great melumedes, a very intelligent and learned woman. She said as follows: until they were married, we followed Chachma. Until the woman was married, she had time to study, and therefore the chachma of the B'nai Tzolofchad was evident. But once they got married, they had no longer any time to be focused on the chachma. They were busy raising their family, and therefore at that point we only look at their age. The Rashbam says that this Gemara that we just learned is the basis for the halacha, and the Shach quotes this halacha, that a younger sibling should not get married before an older sibling. And that's why when it came to the marriage of the B'nai Tzolofchad, they got married in the proper age. However, the Paiskim, in discussing this halacha, very much qualify this rule that the Rashbam and that the Shach quote. One thing that they say is, Ramosha says this, the Klaus Magarebbe says this, is that that halacha that the younger sibling should not get married before the older sibling is only in a situation where they're both engaged. So the question is, which wedding should take place first? So there the halacha is that the older sibling should get married first. But in a situation where they are not yet engaged, and there's an opportunity for younger sibling to get engaged to a good shidduch, the younger sibling could get engaged first. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that this halacha that the Rashbam is saying is only referring to two sisters. But when we're talking about a sister and a brother, or maybe even two brothers, there a younger brother can get engaged before an older brother. Because they explain, girls do not have an independent obligation of pruravu, of getting married and having children. Whereas men have the obligation of pruravu, and therefore, since they have that obligation, a younger brother who has an opportunity to get married and be mekayim the mitzvah pruravu certainly may get married. On the other hand, I saw that the Stipler and the Klaus Magarebbe discuss a younger sister getting married before an older brother also being permissible. The Stipler says the reason it is because since girls typically get married at a younger age than boys, so therefore even if the sister is younger, she's allowed to get married before the older brother. The Klaus Magarebbe explains that there's a specific issue that a woman should marry a Talmud Chacham. And if a girl has an opportunity to marry such an individual, even if she has an older brother, she should take that opportunity. And therefore, he says, under those circumstances, a younger sister could get married before an older brother. The Marsham has a different approach to this entire halacha. And he says that this discussion about a younger sibling before an older sibling is only to the parents. The parents should not marry off perhaps a younger sibling before an older sibling. But when we speak about the people themselves, there is no obligation for a younger sibling to have to wait for an older sibling, and if they're getting married on their own, or if they're looking for a shidduch on their own, it's permissible. And another point that's made by the Paiskim is that if there is a younger sibling that's getting engaged and getting married before an older sibling, the proper thing to do is to ask mechila, to ask permission from the older sibling, and that would make it mutter. In fact, I saw that there was once a conversation between the Satmar Rebbe and the Panovich Rav about this subject, and they both agreed that that is halachically acceptable, that the youngest sibling should ask permission from the older sibling. So the Panovich Rav asked the Satmar Rebbe, if so, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to marry Rachel before Leah, certainly they asked Leah permission. And Leah obviously granted permission. So why did Lavan say, Lo yasa kein b'mklemenu? And Leah gave permission. So what was the problem? So the Satmar Rebbe explained, answered to the Panovich Rav, what Lavan was saying to Yaakov was as follows. Yes, I am aware that Yaakov asked permission, Rachel asked permission from Leah. However, Lo yasa kein b'mkameinu, where I live, the kein, the yes, is loy, it's not a real yes. The yes is not a yes. The no is not a no. So even though he got permission, that permission should not be considered as if it was really meant to be given permission, and therefore what I did was I gave Leah to Yaakov before Rachel. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, Benayis Tzlofchad, Hutlili Nos L'Chol HaShvatim. The Benayis Tzlofchad were actually allowed to marry anybody. Shenemar, L'toy Beinehem Tiyenu L'Noshim. They could marry any man. Elmanim Mekayim. However, if that's the din, that's the fact, how do we understand what the Pasuk says, Achlim Mishpachas Mata Aviyem Tiyenu L'Noshim, that they should be careful to marry only relatives, that to make sure that the nachla, that their portion at Israel doesn't go to a different shevet. Answers the Gemara, Eitz Tovei Sina Kosov. The pasuk was giving them a Eitza Shlei Nasa El Lohagelhem, that they should only marry people who are fitting for them. So the Meshech Chacham explains why, indeed, if the Torah is teaching us that they're supposed to, that everybody, any woman who has a Yerusha from a father has to marry within a family, why would a Benayis Tzlofchad an exception to that rule? Explains the Meshech Chochma. Other people who get married, we have to be concerned what is their purpose in getting married. And therefore, since we can't be sure that they have the proper motives in getting married, so the Torah says we have to be concerned about the Yerusha. However, the Benayis Tzlofchad, as we learned at the end of the previous year and mentioned at the beginning of today's year, Tzidkanius Hayu, were great Tzidkanius. So when they get married, we can be certain that their intent in getting married was pure. And therefore, even though there may be concern about the Nachla, they should get married to the proper people. Just the pasuk gives us an etza and tells us that they did get married to people from their family. Masav Rava asks Rava on this ruling. The pasuk says Emar Lehem. The pasuk here speaks about the iser of eating kachim when somebody is tamei. The pasuk says, so who is the pasuk speaking to? Lo'osam ha'oindem al Har Sinai, to those individuals who are standing on Har Sinai. L'dor Seichem. Here the pasuk is speaking to future generations. So ask the Braisa. Im nema avois lebanam abanim. Now if the fathers who stood by Har Sinai are mentioned, why do the children have to be mentioned? And on the other hand, vim nema bonim lebanam avois. If the children are mentioned, why must the parents be mentioned? To teach us, there's sometimes mitzvahs that only apply to the fathers and not to the children. The yesh b'bonim, and sometimes mitzvahs that only apply to the children, mash'ein b'avos, that don't apply to the fathers. B'avos aymer, for example, regarding the avos, the Torah says, v'kabas yereshes nachla, that the halacha, that a woman who is the yirish of a father should not marry outside a family, as we will learn, was only, in tomorrow's shir, was only said to that generation. On the other hand, there are certain mitzvahs that only apply to the children, not to the father, the parents. Ha Nei Sheesh Bavis Sheesh Bebonim Vesh Bebonim Mashem Bavis. So since now we've established that there are certain mitzvahs that will only apply to the children and not to the fathers, and there are certain mitzvahs that only apply to the fathers and not to the children, what's an example of a mitzvah that only applies to the children? All the mitzvahs are tluyas baritz, all the mitzvahs that only are applicable in Eretz Yisrael, where the fathers didn't enter, hutzuch loyma avos and hutzuch loyma banim. That's what the Torah had to specifically teach us, that the isser of eating kachim while somebody is tamei applies to all generations. However, what did this b'raisa say? But avos oimer, regarding the first generation that entered Eretz Yisrael, the kabas yireshes nachla, that any daughter who is yashining her parent may not marry outside her family. So how would a b'nai tzalofchad allowed to marry outside the family? Answers the Gemara, says the Gemara, who might love whom of Akla? Rav himself answers the challenge. The b'nai tzalofchad were an exception to the rule, as we explained, because of their great madrega. Amamar. The Gebraisa said, Ba'avis ho'oimer, v'chobas yereshes nachla. Ba'avis in, to teach us that this rule only applied to the first generation, b'bottom noi, but not the future generations. My mashma. Ask them, from where do we see in the Pasuk that indeed this halacha only applied to that generation? Amarav, amakra, zehadover. The Pasuk says, zehadover, to teach us, dover zeh lo yinoig el bedar zeh. This thing should only, this rule should only apply in this generation. Amalei Rav Zutel Ravasi, Elamata, if we're saying that when the Torah uses the words Zehadover, the Torah is trying to teach us that it only implies to a certain generation, but not to future generations, ask the Gemara Zehadover, the Torah teaches us the word Zehadover regarding the isser of someone not being allowed to bring a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Zara. And the Torah uses the word Shchutei Chutz. Will we also say, Hachinami, will we also suggest the Lo Yehei Noig El B'dar Zeh, that the isser of Shchutei Chutz only applies to the first generation after they heard this rule? And it's the Gemara, Shani Hasam, no. Since the Torah uses the words L'doi Raisam, we learn from that it doesn't only apply to that generation, but rather it applies to all generations. Ask the Gemara. Zadova, the Rosh Matis. The Torah says when it introduces the halacha of Nedarim and the halacha that a neder can be annulled, the Torah says, Zadova. V'davim Moshe Rosh Matis of Bnei Yisrael, Leimo, Zehadover Shetziv Hashem. Should we also suggest Hachinami Dloyinoig Ela Bedar Zeh, that this rule of Nedarim should only apply to that generation? Amalei, he says, Hahu Yal Zeze Mihosim. We learn Agzeirah Shava from the halacha of Shchutei Chutz to the halacha of Nedarim. That just like Shchutei Chutz, the Torah uses the word Zehadover, but we establish that it applies to all generations, so too is the halacha regarding Nedarim, that it will apply to all generations. Ask the Gemara, if so, Hai Nami Leil of Zezeh Mihosam, if we're going to follow this line of reasoning, so we should learn Gzeirah Shava and say that the din of a daughter of a woman who's a yoreshes, that she shouldn't get married outside of family, should also apply to all future generations. Answers the Gemara, Hai Mai, you can't make this comparison. Bishlam Mahasim Itzruk L'Gzeri Shava. When we speak about Shchutei Chutz, when we speak about Hataras Nedarim, we could understand that there's a Gzeri Shava. Ha Hacha L'May Itzruk. If we're going to say that the Zehadover that the Torah uses by the halacha of a girl yashning is there for Gzeirah Shava, then why would the Torah use the word Zehadover? Wouldn't it be better to lishta krominate? The Torah should not use the word Zehadover at all by the din of Yerusha. v'na yedana, and it will be obvious. We won't have any reason to think that this rule only applies to that generation. So that's why, if the Torah did go out of its way to use the words of Zeh HaDavar regarding the din of Yerusha, the Torah is coming to teach us that this din only applies to that generation, not to any other generations. Ask the Ramah Gzeres Shavah, what is the Gzeres Shavah that we connect Shchutei Chutz to Nedarim? The Tanya, Namakan Zadova. The Torah, when it speaks about Hataras Nedarim, uses the word Zadova. The Namala Halon, and the Torah uses the word Zadova regarding Shchutei Chutz. Ma'ala Halon, just like when we speak about Shchutei Chutz, Aaron, or born of a Kol Yisrael, it refers to Aaron, born of Kol Yisrael. Afkan Arav Ovanov Klal Yisrael, that it applies to everybody. We'll see what that means in a moment. Omakan, and just like by Hataras Nedarim, the Torah speaks to the Rosh Yamatis, to the leaders, Aflahalan, so too the Torah speaking to Rosh Yamatis. And the Mar now explains what the Braisa just meant. Amamar, Malahalan Aaron Uvonov Kol Yisrael, just like there the Torah says, just like regarding Shchutei Chutz, the Torah uses the words Aaron Uvanav Kol Yisrael. Afkan, so too will be the rule regarding Hataras Nedarim of Aaron Uvanav V'Kol Yisrael. Ask the Gemara L'mai Hilchasa, what is this Gzeres Shavah that the Braisa is teaching us, coming to teach us? Amar of Acha by Yaakov, Loi Meshafaras Nedarim Shloi Shajoytis. That we, a person that Hataras Nedarim doesn't require a specific Talmud Chacham, but rather it could, Shloish Ajaitis are also qualified to do Hataras Nedarim. How do we learn it from this? Because as the Rashbam explains, since the Torah says Lo Yachal Dvarim, a person is not allowed to violate his neder, and the Gemara says many times in Masechta Nedarim, Hu Ein HaMeichel VeAcherim he can't do it himself, but others can. Who are the others? Teaches us the Gzeres Shavah that the others are exactly who are in Avraham Kol Yisrael, that it could be more than one individual. The Rashba explains, based on what he said, that since we now have established that the halacha is that it doesn't have to be specifically a yochid mumcha, so that means it could be more than one. How much is more than one? Two. But since we have a rule that ain bezdin chotzef, we can't have a bezdin of an equal amount of individuals, so that's why the minimum has to be three. Tosfos follows a similar line of reasoning. Tosfos says that once we've established that it's more than one person, so it can't be two, it has to be at least three. But other Rishonim follow a very different way of understanding the Gzeres Shavah, how we get to the number three. They explain Aaron is one, Bonov is two, Bonov is at least two, Lashon Rabbim, two plus one equals three. Another way of learning, similar, Aaron is one, Barnav is two, V'chol Yisrael is three. And that's how we know that you need a Bezdin. If you're not going to have a Yochid Mumch, if you're not going to have an expert, three, you need to have three. What is the nafkamina between these different approaches in the Rishonim? So the Mefarshim say there's a very big nafkamina. The nafkamina is if you'll have four people being Matan Neder. If the basis is based on what Shmuel says, that ein bezdin chotzev, you can't have an even number of people in a bezdin, so four people cannot be matan neder. If, however, it's based on the limudim of the pasuk, of the psukim, so the psukim are teaching us you need a minimum of three, but you perhaps could have four. The Rishonim also discuss, when we say that you could have a bezdin of hadyoitis to be matan neder, who are the Hajoitis? some Rishonim are of the opinion that anybody could be qualified. Others say that even though it doesn't require the Avshloish Ajoitis, you don't have to have a mumcha. You do have to have someone who's somewhat learned. And in that itself, there's a debate, what does learned mean? Does it mean that somebody who's learned Gemara, or does it mean that someone who's somewhat familiar with Hilchas Nedarim? And there's a further Machlokes Rishonim, that even according to the opinion that you have to have, that even though Yochid Mumcha, even though Shloisha Ajoitis a Mutter, to be Matan Neder, and you don't need, but you need a learned person, what does that mean? Does that mean that all three have to be learned? Or if one of the three is a learned individual, that is enough to be considered a valid Bezdin Fataras Nedarim? Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Shloisha Hajaitis can be qualified to be Matan Neder? For Rashi Hamatis Ksibay, doesn't the Torah explicitly use the words Rashi Hamatis? That means they have to be leaders. Answers the Gemara, could Amrav Chizda Amrav Yoichanan be Yochid Mimcha? If you have an expert, then you don't need to have three. And Hachanami, when the Torah speaks to the Rosh Hamatis, the Torah is teaching us that a Yochid Mumcha is qualified to be a dying on his own, to be Matan Neder. But here too, we have a debate amongst the Rishonim, which is very relevant to Lalocha. What is the definition of a Yochid Mumcha? Some Rishonim suggest that a Yochid Mumcha is someone who's well versed in the halachas of Nedarim, the halacha of Ataras Nedarim. However, other Rishonim suggest that a Yochid Mumcha is somebody who's a Samuch, somebody who has Smicha, and as we've discussed previously, Smicha is not the ordination that Rabbonim get nowadays, but Smicha means Smicha, an unbroken line from Moshe Rabbeinu, which no longer exists. And the nafka mina la'alocha would be, is there a concept of a yochid mumcha? Is it possible to have an individual be matan neder by himself? If smicha is required, then nowadays it can never be done by a yochid. If smicha is not required, all that's required is a solid knowledge of hilchas nedarim, then it would be possible. We are makbid never to be matan neder through just a yochid. The Gemara continues explaining the Braisa. Oma kan Rosh Yamatis, just like the Torah uses the words Rosh Yamatis regarding Hataras Nedarim, the Fasik also says this Lahal and Rosh Yamatis regarding Shchuti Chutz. Lamai Hilchasa, what are we trying to learn with that Xer Shava? Amr Sheshis, Loi Mashiach Sheila Behagdish, to teach us the concept that even if somebody was magdish something, you can have it annulled. Why? Because hegdish is formed through a neder. A person designates something as hegdish, and therefore he can be matter that neder. However, the paiskim indicate that even though our Gemara is teaching us that you could be matter hegdish, and the same thing seemingly would apply regarding trumas and maestris, that is only till it was received by the Beis HaMikdash. But once the Kohen began doing the avoid on a carbon, it's too late to be Matan Neder. On the other hand, the Karen Oyer asks, of course you could be Matan Neder Hegdish. Why shouldn't you be able to be Matan Neder? Why is it different than any other Neder? Answers the Karen Oyer that the Chiddush is that even by Chattis V'Oshem, which somebody is obligated to bring, so let's say once somebody designated that animal, it should be more than just a neder. Teaches us the Gemara, until the Kohen began doing the Avoida, one could be matter that Hegdish. The Rishayim do want to draw a distinction between Truma and Maisa. Truma, since the halacha is, it can be designated mentally. One could be matter the designation. Maisa, which requires a hafrosha, cannot be annulled. Furthermore, we've discussed many times the Nidre Tzedaka. We spoke about this many times when we learned Masechta in the Nedarim. The Nidre Tzedaka have special rules, and that's why we learned that Nidre Tzedaka, even if you didn't say it, you just decided to do something, it's considered a Nidre Tzedaka. And the question that the Paiskim discuss and Rishonim already discussed, the Nidrei Tzedakah have the same thing as Nidrei Hekdesh. And if our Gemara is teaching us that Nidrei Hekdesh one could annul, certainly so should be the halacha regarding Nidrei Tzedakah. Or perhaps Nidrei Tzedakah are even greater than Nidrei Hekdesh, and even though Nidrei Hekdesh one can annul, Nidrei Tzedakah one cannot annul. It seems that the opinion of most Rishonim is that it's hard to treat Nidrei Tzedakah more stringently than Nidrei Hekdesh, and therefore the halacha will be that Nidrei Tzedakah, before it was actually given to the Ani, can be annulled. Ask the Gemara. According to Beis Shammai, that says that Hekdesh neder cannot be annulled. The Tanan Beis Shammai Omrim Hekdesh Taz Hekdesh, that a Hekdesh that was done even by mistake is valid. Beis Hillel Omrim Ein a Hekdesh. Hai Zev Zev My Avdilei. What will Beis Shammai do? How will they learn the Gzeri Shava? And so the Gemara Zeh David Shkuti Chutz Miboilei. He uses the word Zeh Dovah that the Torah uses by Shkuti Chutz to teach us al Shoychut Chayiv v'en Chayiv al Amoylik. The Torah teaches us that when birds are brought as a carbon, they don't undergo regular Shkita, rather they undergo Malika, which involves cutting it with the thumbnail in the back of the neck. To teach us that even though you're not allowed to Shecht a carbon outside the base of Migdash, Malika, the din of Shkuti Chutz don't apply by Malika. Zad Dovah the Rosh Matas, what will Beis Shammai use for? The boy like to teach us L'chocha Matir Vein Baal Matir. The Dinah Matars Nadarim is by a chochem, not by a husband. Baal Mefer Vein Chochem Mefer. For as we know, there are two different concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Hafara and there's a concept of Hatara. Hafara is a power that's given to a father, to a husband under certain circumstances, that they completely cancel, that they have the power to cancel a neder that was made by a daughter or wife. Hatara is that the chacham, or the bezdin, as we learned, asked the person, they look for a Pesach, asked the person, if you would have realized the repercussions of your neder, would you have made that neder? And if the person says, no, that's a Pesach, and that creates a situation of Hatara that they can annul the nether. And the Pasuk teaches us Beis Shammai, what the Pasuk is teaching us is that they're two separate concepts, Hatara and Hafara. Hatara belongs to the Bezdin and to the Rav, and if they use, and if a Bezdin or a Rav of Yochid Mumcha were to use Hafara, what they would do is meaningless. And same vice versa, Hafara is strictly limited to a husband and a father, and Hatara, and therefore they only could do Hafara using their authority, not Hatara.